If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Are you tired of the same old pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 4,000 hours of the best pro wrestling events from over 110 of the biggest names in the industry from over 15 countries around the globe. Get your free trial today at Powerslam.tv.
The following is brought to you by the Social Suplex Podcast Network.
Welcome to the 58th episode of Social Suplex's podcast about AEW with a proclivity for positivity. Welcome to All Things Elite. I am your host, Floyd Johnson. With me today is, again, for the second week in a row, it feels like the old days of Around the Ring. Hey, I got Mr. Dave Brown, my friend that I call Silky. How you doing today, Dave?
I'm doing well. I'm not sure if your listeners will be doing well after having to suffer through me for 2 weeks, but thank you for having me on the show. It's always a pleasure.
All right. So I'm just do a little housekeeping. The reason the show's coming late, it's being recorded on Sunday morning. Show's coming late is because we found a few bed bugs at home. I have no problem delving into my personal life. We found two or three. It wasn't like we found a family or shit, but, because of that, me and my wife are only off Saturday and Sunday together. So yesterday we spent time literally she mostly did all the work, but I was there saying I was doing stuff. And we moved the bed around, vacuumed, and she had bought this bug spray offline. And we sprayed, and you have to spray it twice a day, a week. And it was just a whole other deal and a whole day of doing stuff. As I've mentioned, we live in a one-bedroom apartment. You think, oh, one-bedroom apartment, how much stuff can you have? Well, my wife was a fully formed adult when I met her and moved in, so she had all her shit. And then me, who just came from living in a three-bedroom house, had all my shit. So, there's probably about a three-bedroom house worth of shit in a one-bedroom apartment. So, if you might know from, as Dave pointed out, Hotel Impossible bed bugs is not something to be played around with. So we wanted to make sure we got cleared up. So I was not going to do a show this week. I was going to hit up Jeremy, the head of Social Suplex, and say, not doing a show. But I sat there and I went through all the stuff and I'm just like, we would be missing too much with BTE 200. AEW Dynamite was great this week. The announcement of the TV taping schedule, all of that stuff. There's no way I could skip this week. So, Dave.
Yes.
How are you doing, sir?
You know, I'm doing okay. It looks like there's a possibility thing. People might be trying to move things back to more normal-ish sooner rather than later, at least here in the great state of Oklahoma, which means I'm sure we will in a few months have a huge spike in the Rona. So that will be good. Speaking of, I laughed way too hard at a joke I heard on another podcast, and you'll probably know as I say the joke, and I'm not going to do it well, but the host was talking about something he would never, ever want to do or never, ever want to watch. And he said, I'd rather be coughed on by a coronavirus patient. I laughed so hard, and it's so wrong. I know this, but I had tears welled up in my eyes. I told my daughter the story yesterday. We were waiting to get some Chick-fil-A, which took forever because poor folks at Chick-fil-A are getting slammed. And I told her that, and she's like, Dad, it's not that funny. And I'm crying again. I'm laughing so hard. And just as I'm telling you, I'm starting to, like, I feel the giggle coming up. It's like that, there's that scene in Pulp Fiction that every time I see it, I laugh so hard. Because the first time I saw it in the theaters in 1994, I almost lost my shit laughing so hard. And that's the scene in the car. If you've never seen Pulp Fiction, you know, spoiler alert for a movie that's damn near 30 years old. But where John Travolta looks back and happens to be holding his gun in a way he shouldn't. And then, boom! And he says, oh, shit, I shot Marvin in the face. And Samuel Jackson responds, what the fuck did you do that for? Oh, it's... I don't do it justice. Oh, it's still 25 years later. That shit makes me laugh. Oh, my God.
Well,
yeah. Oh, speaking of, man, and we'll get to it when we talk about Dynamite. Jericho had a just hilarious bit during, I forget which match. I think it was the Darby Allin, Sammy Guevara match that just had me rolling. But we'll get there later.
All right. We will get there later. Just a reminder, do you want to do the ad read again, sir?
Sure, yes. So just to let everybody know, and I do have a serious question for you, Floyd, for everyone out there. Are you sick and tired of the same old pro wrestling? I know I am. This is why you need to check out PowerSlam TV. That's right, man. PowerSlam.tv, where you can get over 4,000 hours of content from over 110 of your favorite wrestling brands and promotions from countries all across the globe right under your laptop or mobile device. If you use the code SOCIALSUPLEX at checkout, you get 1 month free. That's 1 month free on us, the Social Suplex Network. I say us. I didn't have anything to do with it. I'm the guest here. I don't know. They make the deals. They sign the paperwork. Money passes hands. It's all a thing. But you check it out, powerslam.tv, use the code SOCIALSUPLEX, you get a month free. It's good stuff.
All right, and just remember, download All Things Elite, Google, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts, and make sure you are supporting us by following at AT Elite Pod, at Social Suplex, at Phoenix AEW, and at All Elite Tiffany on Twitter. And for Dave, it's at Oklahoma Lefty.
That is correct. So where all is the Social Suplex? I know you say all the places. Is it on all of the major platforms?
From what I understand, yes.
Okay. So what real quick, what platform do you use to listen to podcasts?
I use Google Podcasts.
Google Podcasts, nice. I primarily use Stitcher.
I use Google Podcasts because Google Podcasts is the, like, that's where I know everything is. I've yet to, like, even if someone does a podcast, you know, random podcast with 3 followers, it's on Google Podcasts. They are very good about staying updated. And, like, the one that I used before, there was no, you know, sometimes it would show up, sometimes it wouldn't. It was just, I got away from it. I don't want to say which one I used before because I'm not trying to bury anybody, but it was sure. it was just not always there.
I for whatever reason, I started using Stitcher years ago, and that's the one I've stuck with. If sometimes if there's a show that's not on there, but say is on Spotify, because I listen to music on Spotify like all the time, I'll listen to a show on Spotify. But for whatever reason, I don't like using Spotify for podcasts as much. It's weird. I don't understand.
That's funny. the big news of the week, before, as we get started, AEW announced the taping schedule. Voices of Wrestling and their Patreon reached out to Tony Khan to get clarification on the upcoming Dynamite schedule. I am one of their Patreon users. Voices of Wrestling, patreon.voicesofwrestling or voicesofwrestling.com/Patreon.
Yeah, you can get it both ways.
Yeah, I'm only plugging them because I am a subscriber. Like I said, I am not a person that subscribes to Patreons. They actually put out way too much audio for me to keep up with. I'm more of a TV guy. But I was going to give $10 to Mr. Conrad Thompson to get commercial free of all his shows. And I decided, you know what? I am going to support I wouldn't call him the little guy, but the not as big guy, you know, and I decided to just support Voices of Wrestling. Like I said, I still pretty much just listen to the flagship, but this is news. This came from it. So I'm feeling my Patreon support is paying off. The taping schedule, Dynamite will be live on May 6th. So not this week, but then not this Wednesday, but the next coming Wednesday. So they're going to record, looks like they're going to record the 6th and the 13th. May 20th, they'll return live because that's the week of Double or Nothing, and Double Nothing will be live. They have not determined their post-Double or Nothing schedule. They will not be full crew shows, as international talent is still unavailable and those uncomfortable with participating continue to be excused. He expects about double the talent of what was available for the last set of tapings in Georgia, which was about, I think, 10 main roster people and then a lot of local talent. He also noted AEW must continue to produce new content. It's not live or recorded, but it does have to be new as to not default on their television contract, which essentially is the lone revenue stream at this time, along with pay-per-view. So AEW has to produce content. I wanted to get this because this actually leads to a question we have on Twitter. Ryan Evans, one of our loyal listeners, every week he sends me questions. He is, very into the show, and I love that. Thank you, Ryan. He said, "I'm going to present this to Dave and get your opinion, and then I'll give mine." Do you personally think WWE and AEW should be doing shows during this time? Because I personally don't at all. So he doesn't think anyone should be doing shows. Dave, what do you think?
I don't think anyone should be doing live shows. I think it's a situation where if they can do it with a super minimal staff and they just bring in the barest of bones and film like 4 weeks worth of stuff, you know, film like a month or two's worth of stuff in like a 2-day period. And, you know, kind of like Impact would film like 6 months worth of crap in like 3 days and then just ride that out. You know, that's understandable because I think where WWE is a relationship with their broadcast partners that they can get away with kind of skirting around their contracts because it was there were rumors, and Meltzer said things about one of the reasons they were going to go back to doing live programming was because Vince was afraid they were going to get their contracts were going to get changed on them. And then they, I'm assuming what happened is he talked to the networks, and networks were like, we're not going to screw you over on this. They've established enough of a relationship, especially with USA, that they can, you know, have that. And I mean, plus worst case scenario, both Fox and USA knows that if God forbid they can't produce any talent, they have 50 plus years of content from multiple sources that they can just edit together and throw up and would make compelling television, whereas AEW does not. So TNT is taking a big chance on AEW. And so the fact that they're holding them to, look, we really need new content. I think my thing, the thing I wonder about is, with all this going on, why would you continue to produce Dynamite? And to some extent, why even continue to produce BTE and just put all of that stuff? I mean, not Dynamite, Dark. You know, don't do Dark, don't do BTE, and put all of that content on Dynamite. Now, that having been said, there's a lot of stuff on BTE. I don't think Tony Khan would ever let sniff Dynamite because it's just silly and goofy. But, you know, you could get a little more creative. And there's part of me that's like, no, you should not do this. But I also understand that these people need to get their paychecks. And the only way for AEW to stay afloat right now is to continue to produce TV content because of their contract. So I'm not going to hold it against them. In a perfect world, no, they wouldn't be making shows right now. No, they'd just be showing, you know, highlights of everything they've done so far, and including stuff from BTE. You know, that at that point you have Tony Khan write a huge check to ROH to get the content for All In, and you just do the best you can. But I mean, you do what you got to do.
So I have a completely different point of view. You go for it. Of course you should be recording. Of course you should be taping. Wrestling is one of those things. The show goes on. It's always been that way, as far as I know. And it's just like the show goes on. I mean, take whatever precautions you can, but, you know, go for what you know. I am one of those people that I am respectful of this pandemic. I am respectful of everything, but it's like you're going to die of something. You know what I mean? I'm not, you know, the whole idea, me and you've had this conversation, the whole idea of going out of your way to extend life is just lost on me. You know what I mean? It's just like,
right,
go to work, do your thing, make TV, I'll watch it. Or, hey, if you're going to record, I'll watch that too. I think you should do what's best. In my head, there's no reason to shut down. And I understand where Tony is because Georgia and Florida, the places he records, are opening. So he doesn't even have that where he can go to TNT and say, you know what, we can't record because Florida says we can't have anybody, we can't record TV. Georgia says we can't record TV. They're the two states opening up. So it's like literally you have nothing to stand on when you say yeah, you're not going to record. They're like, so yeah. Well, our people live in different states. Well, you kind of knew that when you started this, right? You know, it's like I've heard the idea of baseball is like everybody moving to a certain city and staying in a hotel and being quarantined and just going to play the games. People might think I'm cold hearted or whatever, which is very hard to believe because I'm a very nice guy. Why doesn't AEW do that? Why don't you rent out a place he's freaking Tony Khan, rent out a place in Jacksonville, bring them all there, quarantine them, and then record TV? I mean, they all get paid a significant amount of money to do what they do. I don't think that's too huge of a sacrifice.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And it would, you bring people in, especially if you can spread it out. If you can record, you know, 6 weeks worth of TV in a 2-day time, that you could do that safely.
That's the big thing with me. It's they're going to record on May 20th. They're going to record on May 20th. I think they should record on May 20th. May 27th, the one right after Dynamite, or right after D.O.N. That should be a good 2 to 3 months of recording. I'm talking about bring everybody that's willing to come in and record 8 shows. And because you're not building to anything, just go ahead and record all of June, all of July, and get to August.
Agreed.
Yeah, so I mean, like I said, I get it. I'm one of those people. I think if AEW quit doing TV, like started showing like old shows or whatever, I think it would kill their company. They're a startup. They're still a startup. Yeah. I forgot the length of time, but you're a startup for a certain amount of years. You're not, it's not like you think startup, you think 3 months. No, you're a startup for like 5 years. You know what I mean? It's just they got a nice TV contract. They got everything. But to get into the consciousness of America to where casual people know what the AEW is different from WWE, it takes a while.
It does. It does. And it's they can't afford to not be on TV right now.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, granted, TV stations are kind of thirsty for content because they're all the networks are starting to run out. I think I even heard some of the soap operas have run out of taped material. So that's that doesn't happen. So, yeah, they're dying for content.
See, and that's the thing with soap operas and stuff like that. They have 40 years of material. They could, Days of Our Lives, Young and the Restless, they could go back and show classic, episodes of their shows, that everybody remembers. AEW doesn't have that benefit.
Right.
But I would say with all this extra time that, TNT has, dude, I would be showing my pay-per-views on their shows, like the ones that we've already done. I would do a day where you could watch Double or Nothing, All Out, Full Gear, Revolution, watch all of them, and I would basically spam content on TNT. The same way WWE is doing with Fox, I would do with TNT and all their channels just to start building up that fan base, because the thing AEW does best, in my opinion, is the pay-per-view. So I would do what I can to let people see that pay-per-view.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. Like you could catch up, you probably missed a few of those, even though I am your friend and there's no reason you should ever miss a show. But
I have missed a lot of shows, but I watch a bit of this week's shows.
I know, right? Right. I was talking to Ryan, who's been on the show, our friend Ryan Aaron, and AEW and NXT was on, and he's like, I'm binge watching ER. And I'm like, the fuck? What? He's like, well, very little entertains me now, and this is entertaining me, so I'm gonna watch that. And I laughed because it's just like, Wednesdays at 7 are wrestling now. Mondays at 7 have been wrestling for good lord, I don't know how long. I can't say about SmackDown because they've switched channels and times more times than anybody. But my life, Monday at 7 or 8. On USA has been appointment viewing, and now it's that way with TNT on Wednesday nights and pretty much NXT like right after. So yeah, and I know I'm a horrible person, but I do watch both religiously. So there you go.
But there's if anyone thinks you're a horrible person for watching what are probably the two best wrestling shows on TV every week, you're either a member of a cult, or you are just, I don't know what, because
fandom
it's,
is.
Okay, as much as I loathe Vince McMahon, I think Vince McMahon is some of the worst examples of humanity. I think NXT has consistently, over the last 5 years, been some of the best pro wrestling on anywhere. I mean, it's, as far as the best pro wrestling in the world, you'd probably have to say New Japan is the best. And for a long time, NXT has been second to that.
Yeah, I disagree on that. I always have. I love New Japan Pro Wrestling, but it's just pro wrestling. I don't think New Japan would be popular at all if it was like on American TV all the time. I think it would be a very niche thing because it's just pro wrestling.
I mean, and that's fair, and that's what I like about it. I like it's just the matches are fantastic.
And that's great, but that's a again, when you get down to scripted fighting, you know, again, when you look at the most popular times in WWE, it really wasn't about the scripted fighting.
True.
It was about the story that went along with it, you know what I mean? And it's just like, I loved pro wrestling, and just pro wrestling is great, but I do like the fireworks and the music and Cody's grand entrance and things like that. Wrestling, it has to be more than just wrestling. And that's why when people say New Japan's the best, New Japan is the best at what they do. They are. But to me, it's just straightforward. One guy's better than the other. And it's just like, okay, I need more. I need more. Like I said, I love New Japan. Don't get me wrong. I listen to New Japan podcasts. I do love New Japan. Don't get me wrong. I just don't think it's the best in the world. Just like, I mean, I know Dave Meltzer believes it's the best in the world, and I have no problem with it. I have no problem with Dave because he's a man with an opinion, and you're allowed to have an opinion. Me personally, the glitz and glamour, my two favorite wrestling organizations are NXT and AEW. The reason you get the straight pro wrestling, but you get a lot more of the entertainment value in the stories that you don't get within New Japan. And of course, people say, well, New Japan, their stories are subtle. I don't want subtle. I'm American. I want to get hit over the head with the story.
So, yes, you want the, God, what is it they call it? The obvious hammer? No, damn it.
Subtlety hammer?
Subtlety hammer, yes.
Yeah.
You like being hit with a subtlety hammer.
Yeah, I do. Because, yeah, it's just, I don't want to look for the story. I want the story right there. I'm just like, I don't even like movies like that. When it's like David Lynch, if people know who that is, he, what is the show?
Oh, my God, Twin Peaks.
Twin Peaks. He is very much, I'm going to present you something, and I'm not going to give you any answers. It's whatever you want it to be. I will never watch a movie or TV show of his again.
Dude, have you ever seen Eraserhead?
Not that I remember.
Oh, my God. It's like one of his earliest films. It is bizarre. Here's my kind of track as far as the weirdest, most bizarre films I'd ever thought I'd seen in my life. So in the early 90s, I saw Heathers, and I was like, wow, that's some effed up stuff. That's weird. And then I saw Clockwork Orange. I was like, oh, my God, that is incredible. I don't ever want to see this again. That is some weird, fucked up shit. Yeah, and then I saw Eraserhead, and I was like, nope, this takes the cake. This is the most bizarre, out there thing I have ever seen in my entire life. And it again, it's one of those experiences you have once and you're like, wow, I don't ever want to experience that again, but I'm glad I saw it. David Lynch also, though, if you make him follow an actual story, he can produce some incredible stuff. He did a film in the, what was it, early 80s? He did The Elephant Man movie, which was about a guy who had elephantitis. It's heart-wrenching. I was literally curled up in a ball in the fetal position, bawling at the end of it. It was so heart-wrenching. Gorgeous movie. He also did that atrocity in the 80s, Dune, which he hates, and he took his name off of it because it was utter dog crap. It was horrible, despite the fact that it had Sting and Patrick Stewart in it. How do you screw up something with Sting and Patrick Stewart? I don't know.
Well, Dune is a cult classic. I mean, lot of people love Dune.
I don't know why, man, because it's a hot mess.
Well, dude, your tastes are a little different than other people's.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. How many times have you watched Smallville?
Completely all the way through? Yeah. Two or three at least.
No one likes that show that much.
See, that's not true.
You like that show way more than everyone else.
I like it a lot. I've watched Alias, I think, all the way through at least six times.
Exactly. No one likes that show that much.
Oh, that show is great. I've watched Veronica Mars all the way through. Well, actually, I've only seen the newest season, the fourth season, once. But prior to that, I've seen all the other seasons in the movie three or four times.
Exactly. Dude.
Great stuff.
You know,
man,
what comes out every day? New content. Why are you watching that old shit like 100 times?
Because I love it.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. You're different than everyone else.
That is true. And I do wear that as a badge of honor.
All right. So, but back to my point, I don't like subtle. I like there. I like it in front of me. My favorite movies are romantic comedies. You generally know who the girl and the guy are going to be together in the first 10, 15 minutes of the movie if you're paying attention. I'd say 10, 15. That's a little long. Probably 5. You get introduced to the guy. You get introduced to the girl. You know they're going to be together, right? One of my movies that I hate the most is Sweet Home Alabama. It's because the guy that ends up getting left, I was like, dude, he was way better option than the guy that she ended up picking. So, but
wait, who is in that one?
Reese Witherspoon, Patrick Dempsey, and I forgot the other guy. That he's kind of like a poor man's Matthew McConaughey. I forgot his name. But, yeah, she ends up with the country poor man's Matthew McConaughey, even though Patrick Dempsey is the better pick. So, I was just saying, I mean, this is a wrestling show. But that's what I'm saying. Just because you, I mean, you know, the Daves think the New Japan is the best doesn't necessarily mean it's the best. It's not everyone's cup of tea.
Oh, that's fair. I mean, I all the time will say, you know, this is something I love. That doesn't mean everyone else is going to like it.
No, it's just in the IWC, it's almost this accepted fact that New Japan's the best wrestling product in the world. I'm just like, I don't agree with that.
Well, if you're talking about just pure actual bell-to-bell wrestling, I think you can make that argument that...
And even when I was young, that has never been my wrestling. Ever.
Even, that's what, you're a Vince McMahon person.
No, so I'm just saying 80s and 90s with Dusty Rhodes. When Jimmy Garvin and Tully Blanchard fought for Precious and, you know, that kind of material. And it was like when the Horseman broke Dusty Rhodes' leg, it's always been a soap opera.
So it's hard times, baby.
Yeah. It wasn't all just about wrestling. It was a soap opera. The Horseman, the idea that the guys just, you know, jump people at the end of the show. That wasn't based in real sports. I mean, no one's jumping Tom Brady 2 days before the giving game.
No, but, you know, they might be deflating footballs.
Yes, that's what I'm just saying. It's just like wrestling has, to me, I have never equated it with real sports. And I will never, because it's always been a fiction-based. A sports fiction soap opera.
Yeah, and you know that is interesting. Like the people who come at it from a sports thing, because I also have never been a sports fan. But you, I mean, you are a sports fan. You're a diehard sports fan. I'm not. I mean, I flirted with liking baseball for a while. I can hold a competent conversation about football. I can somewhat hold a semi-competent conversation about basketball. I'm not completely ignorant on the subjects, but I don't follow sports either. And honestly, I mean, even just fighting in general, that doesn't seem very sports-like. I mean, granted,
MMA and professional wrestling are probably the best fiction, non-fiction comparative things, but the whole thing was, it was like, when I watch wrestling, I compare it more to a drama or like Young and the Restless, that kind of stuff for men. Then I compare it to MMA.
Oh yeah, it has far more in common with Days of Our Lives than it does with UFC.
Yeah, like so, professional wrestling's coming on at 7, and MMA's coming on at 7. I'm not gonna be like, man, which one I pick? I'm gonna watch professional wrestling, then I'm gonna watch MMA or whatever, because it's just they're two different things. I hate when people compare them. The only reason to compare them is if you're a company trying to make money off of it, because of course MMA draws this big audience, so you want the cable companies to think that wrestling is going to draw the same audience as MMA, but honestly, the two fandoms are completely different. Yeah, like if you take a diehard MMA fan and talk to him about professional wrestling, I don't want to watch that fake shit, right?
Then exactly.
If you take a diehard wrestling fan, unlike me, they'd be like, I don't watch him. I want to watch MMA. That shit's barbaric. It's two men trying to kill each other. You know what I mean?
And the complete irony about that is overall, pro wrestling is far worse on the body than both boxing and MMA.
Because you do it more. If you did an MMA fight 200 days a year, as Ronda Rousey pointed out, which I don't think she says much right in the world, you die. Because, MMA is much harder on your body. You just do it less.
Right. That said, though, they are much quicker to stop a fight. If something bad goes down and someone, like, they will stop that shit quick. So, generally speaking.
Yeah, but, yeah. Like I said, it's just if you were in an MMA fight every day, you get hit much harder and you get knocked out much quicker. And the fact that the person is trying to hurt you is a whole different thing. I just like I said, I wouldn't even compare them because being a wrestler is like being a stuntman in Hollywood, which is probably more harmful to your body than being an MMA fighter. You get what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's just, it's volume, that's how I think. Like I said, we went off on a whole tangent here. I'm like what you like, and when people call something unequivocally the best, you will probably get an argument from me. I don't feel that, and it's like I'll jump in the Jordan debate or whatever debate you want, because I don't think anything's unequivocally the best. It's all depend on what you like.
There you go.
Yeah. So I do AEW, my favorite wrestling show. That's what you will hear from me. AEW is my favorite. Well, not here. AEW is the best because that's very opinion. I mean, that's opinion based. Because there's nothing to really rank it on. What do you rank it on? Like, I would love to do like a forum with a whole bunch of different people with different views and that can say stuff without getting angry and kind of come up with a definitive. What makes a match great?
Ooh, that would be interesting.
Like, everyone agrees Okada and Omega, whichever one you pick is one of the best wrestling matches they ever seen. I agree with that. I'm one of those people that say, I 100% unequivocally agree. I've been watching wrestling most of my life. Dude, they put on a performance that knocked my socks off, and I can watch it anytime. But why was it great?
That's a good question. That's the intangible.
Yeah, it's like, why was it great? It's like, I know it was great.
It's like beauty is in the eye of the beholder, or as a Supreme Court justice once said about porn, you'll know it when you see it.
That's what I'm like. But yeah, I know a great match when I see it. So we got the AEW taping schedule. Went off on a huge tangent here. Now we're going to get to BTE 200, starting at the big 200th episode of BTE. Matt and Nick have a wrestling match. Then they show a montage of pretty much the whole time, All In, and lots of things from over the 200 episodes. Then they end in a car, and a lot of people said it felt like the last BTE. Dave, as a not loyal BTE watcher, what did you think of this show?
It's funny. I have traditionally not ever enjoyed BTE. I watched it last week. I watched it this week. These have been some of the more enjoyable BTEs that I've seen. One thing I loved is the very beginning. They used basically all of their intros, except they made sure to not include Flip Gordon. They had Marty Scurll was all over the intros of this thing, but Flip Gordon was not. That I wondered what was up with that. Probably nothing, but I enjoyed it. I thought the match was kind of silly, but I mean, that's what it was going to be. If you thought it was going to be anything other than silly, then you weren't, paying attention. But the montage actually, got me a little choked up a couple times. And that surprised me a little. But I enjoyed it. I agree though. I felt like at the very end, it was like, yep, this feels like the end. And I've heard things that, rumors or what, I forget where exactly I heard them or which website I saw it on, but there has been talk that BTE might not be around anymore. And in a way, I think maybe this would be a perfect ending for it. Just be done and concentrate all your content creating skills on doing stuff for Dynamite, especially now that you have, you know, potentially not going to be able to do live shows in front of people for Lord knows how long, though it might start up sooner than we realize. But even if it doesn't, you've got the perfect time to end it. It's the 200th episode, it's anniversary, and you have this weird ending. So focus on the other stuff.
Yeah. I agree. I wouldn't say it came. I did not get the fact that it came off as an ending at all. Maybe I'm just slow. I just thought it just came off as them reflecting over 200 episodes. But you heard from Dave Meltzer earlier this week that they don't know how much longer they'll be doing it. So
yeah and it's thing. It's probably, it would be probably a nice break for them to not have to worry about doing that all the time. That's got to be a ton of extra work.
Yeah, it was, because, you know, the show was on the way to get their name out there. Mm-hmm. Their name's out there. You know, right. they run a promotion. It's just, there's no reason for the show anymore.
Agreed.
I love the show. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm very big on the show, but I love it. As far as the match, I was going to give my thoughts on the match. Like I said, it was super entertaining to me. I am a person that likes their form of comedy and turning, but I just think they just kind of laid it all out on the line, and that's something I'm always going to appreciate, is when people lay it all out on the line. So they did. They had a great match. I think this is one of those things that should be on your match of the year type thing, because they went back to their roots, which was backyard wrestling. I think BTE will be around at least until their book actually comes out. I think it's a great way to promote their book.
They have a book coming out?
Yes.
I did not know this.
Oh, good Lord. So you really like fast forward through the show, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's on every show.
Yeah, no, I mean, I watch that sucker on double time.
Yes, I'm like, that's why I don't watch things on double time. Right there. Right and there. You just
also, though,
made
I'm,
my point.
I'm not an invested fan.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fine, but I wouldn't sit here and go, I am a fan of AEW. I know. I mean, I enjoy it when I like it, but I don't go out of my way to watch it. I would consider myself a fan of, say, NXT, but I don't even go out of my way to watch that anymore. Yeah. To be fair, I've been going to school this semester and, you know, time's limited, but.
Yeah. On that montage, it was crazy how much of those things I was at, you know?
That I can see that, because you go to stuff all the time.
Yeah, and I go to there's like the last 2 years I go to, like, I've never missed an AEW pay-per-view, you know, and I mean, like, the big pay-per-views, I've never missed one. I've been to Dynamite, to Kansas City, Dallas, Austin, the first one in Washington D.C. So I've been to 4 Dynamites. So, yeah. I don't miss a lot of their shows. It's kind of funny. I haven't went to the one in Jacksonville, but I'm definitely going to do that when I can.
Yeah.
Whenever they do their first show is going to be my big thing. That's what I'm waiting on. Is when they do their first big show from being back. Me and Tiffany have talked about it. We said, hey, we're going to be in the first row for that first big show back.
And that would be a good show to be at. That crowd's going to go bonkers, because, you know, everyone's so sick of being locked up, and you finally get to go and scream your head off, and yeah, that'll be a bonkers time.
it will be a bonkers time.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that was, but yeah, they put on a great match. The tennis racket stuff, when they jumped from on top into on the tennis court, that was crazy to me. It was just the spiked boot, the reference to the Marty Jannetty, Shawn Michaels heel turn. All of this was just, all of that was in the in that match, and it was just, it was great. It was great because, you know, one's got blonde hair, one's got brown hair. It's you know, the Rockers, the Rock and Roll Express, Matt and Jeff Hardy, now the Young Bucks. It's just, yeah. it all goes into it. So
yeah. So, okay. I have never been able to tell which one is Matt and which one is Nick.
It's the simplest thing. Matt has dark hair. Nick has light hair. Just like Matt Hardy has dark hair and Jeff Hardy has light hair.
Okay. So the one thing I was wondering, I'm like, okay, what was... Other than maybe Nick is still, you know, quote unquote injured. And I don't even know if he's actually injured or not. But having Matt win, I just didn't. I wasn't quite sure the psychology or the point of it all. That said, the Canadian Destroyer into the pool was fantastic. That was a great spot.
Yeah, it's the idea that the little brother can never beat the big brother. It's a long term storyline telling because back in the backyard wrestling, Nick never beat Matt.
Okay, and I have to admit, I've always preferred Matt. I think I prefer him as a wrestler. I don't know. There's something. Nick has a more punchable face, and Matt comes off as like a nicer guy.
They're both extremely nice.
That does not surprise me.
Yeah, they're both extremely nice. They're like, hey, buddy, you were here. They know, remember seeing you. And I remember I told them, like, I didn't know. You know, I watched them wrestle for 2 years without knowing who was who. That's the first thing. I actually met them in real life, had them sign things, and not know which signature was which.
That doesn't make me feel so bad then.
Yes. So, one of the times we met, and you know, I was talking about the Oklahoma City trip, and he's like, yeah, I remember that trip. We flew in, did a signing, because it was at Oklahomania 1. Matt and Nick were there, and
the biggest Oklahomania.
Biggest Oklahomania, and it was, they came in, flew in for an hour, did a signing, literally $15. The meet and greet, I got Young Buck fans. I literally still have fans signed by Nick and Matt, and no clue who they were. At that time, no clue. I had kind of heard their names, but I had no clue who they are. And I've met them like 8 times since then or something like that. And I think that's over. I think it's like 6, really. I think the actual number is 6 since then. And, you know, like, I'm very familiar with them. But, yeah, at that time, I did it because their stuff was $15 for everything.
It's probably not $15 now.
No. I've paid considerably more than that to meet them since then. Considerably more than that.
Well, they have to get their new hustle going, man.
Yeah. The first taste was like free, you know. It's like, hey, you want to see us now? Pony up. No. They're great. I was doing it to support them. I don't generally meet people more than once, but they are my favorites. You know, not my favorite tag team, of course, but my favorite, like. When you want to talk about the greatest, for me, the greatest tag team division ever, it's going to be AEW in like 2 months.
Oh, you mean when the Revolt shows up?
Yeah, because they were my favorite at one time, in order. My favorite WWE tag team was the Revival. My favorite Impact TV tag team was Proud and Powerful.
LAX at the time.
Yeah, LAX at the time. My favorite New Japan tag team was the Young Bucks.
Yeah, and they're all going to be in one place, but it sounds like the Revolt's going to make a stop in NWA first, hitting that Crockett Cup.
Dude, the Revolt was, the NWA was built for them.
Oh, yeah. It would be, I mean, even if, you know, they got the call as soon as they were released, Tony or Cody or the Young Bucks were on the phone with them. They're like, yeah, we really want to do a run in NWA first.
Let me just say this. Yeah, they made the call to Billy. You know, Billy didn't have to make the call. They're like, okay, we're doing this. I mean, that's what they do. So, yeah. Let's see where we at in the show. All right, AEW Dark Review. There was only two matches, of course, squash matches. One was Penelope Ford pinning Anna Jay with a fisherman suplex. I thought Anna Jay looked really good in the match. I love Penelope Ford's fisherman suplex. She is a super athlete, and just the bridge on it is amazing. And Anna Jay has been getting, you know, a lot of attention for being, you know, looking like she does. And then there was Cody Rhodes versus Joe Alonso. It was a good match. Cody gave Joe a lot, but he finished with a Gale lock, which the best way I can describe it, it's a scorpion death lock with your legs, but instead of holding your arm, he held the second leg with his other leg, which looks like it puts more pressure on it. If I was going to go all Taz on it and try to explain to you why it hurts. But it was, I thought that was really cool. So he submits him with that move, shakes his hand after the match. Very good. You know, it's good to have Cody on Dark. And that's the great thing about, I've even said that about like superstars and main event and all that stuff. Occasionally you need Roman Reigns on there. Occasionally you need Braun Strowman on there. Not all the time, but you should give fans that are loyal and turning on those shows a reason to watch them. And
yeah,
not having your big stars on it, you know, hurts the show. It's like, dude, why can't Braun Strowman do a 5-minute squash match on main event? Why, I mean, well, 5 minutes, that's a little long. A minute and a half squash match on main event. Why couldn't he do that? Why couldn't Roman Reigns, why couldn't Charlotte tap out a local contender on main event? It's just, it's not that big a deal. You know what I mean?
Agreed. Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't happen very often. It only happens every once in a while when they're like, oh, we need to make this show important again.
Yeah.
And then.
Yeah. And it's just like, it should be more consistent. I know that's the other ways to get other names out there, but you can get other names out there. You can make people look good in a loss. I thought Anna Jay looked really impressive in this loss to Penelope Ford. And I thought Joe Alonso looks like someone they can use going forward in this match against Cody.
And, you know, speaking of jobbers who look good, when we talk about Dynamite, there was a jobber who looked good against a certain super former IWGP heavyweight champion. That match kind of exploded the interwebs for a day. And I know that was it was not one that you said you have to watch, but I wanted to watch that. But we'll get to that in a minute.
I figured, it was really shocked you hadn't watched it because that was such a big thing. I figured, you know, and only I figured everyone – In as I call it, the IW, well, everybody calls it the IWC, would have watched it. So I thought you had watched it just because it was such a, you know, polarizing thing. And I was like, me, it's like, it was like a million other matches I've seen, but we're going to get to my opinion on that in a moment. AEW starts off with the Cody Rhodes promo. What did you think of the promo? I specifically asked you to watch the opening so you could comment on this one.
It was fine.
See, some people were telling me it came off as very Dark Knight and Snake from Metal Gear Solid.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, that's a video game.
Yeah, I don't play video games. I got one hand, man. I can't do that crap.
Well, I thought you would at least know what the video game was.
No.
Because you're on the internet and you're in, you know, in wrestling discourse, video games and wrestling crossover so much, I thought you would at least heard of it. Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I have no clue what you're talking about.
No, but he's a big video. Cody's a big video game guy, and I was like, I know he's a big Snake from Metal Gear Solid thing. So if that was, he was trying to decide what he was, and he called himself the 3-star general or whatever, and I laughed at that because that's a lot. You know, when I, as a big Cody Rhodes fan, and as a person that defends him a lot, that's the big thing, is that his matches are 3 stars, and I'm just like,
oh yeah, now I get that line. I was like, because yeah, he was talking about being a perennial life or job, you know, mid-carder. Oh, that makes more sense now. Okay,
yeah. So I laugh.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh no, it's perfect. I laugh at that because, you know, of course the people that are like most in the Cody fandom or care exponential amount about him know that he is entertaining. I wouldn't call it in a non-traditional way. He loves 80s wrestling. He loves 80s, 90s wrestling, and that's what he is. If this was the 80s and 90s, he'd be one of the best wrestlers in the world.
Right, because it wasn't about super work rate in 80s, early 90s wrestling. It wasn't – because all the work rate, you know, especially in mid – after the mid-90s, when that whole group of people went from, you know, the Super Juniors tournament and they ended up in ECW and then ended up in WCW, that's when work rate started to become a thing.
Yeah.
And prior to that, I mean, your biggest work rate people, you had Ric Flair obviously could work, but you had Ricky Steamboat, who was a tremendous worker. You had Sting, who was a good worker. But for the most part, you were dominated by, you know, your Hogans and your Lugers. And all of that, and no one's ever going to call either of those two guys work rate people. It was fine promo. I didn't see too much in it. But again, I'm not a diehard Cody person. I'm just like, yeah, he's fine.
I just thought he looked really cool in his gaming chair with a custom gaming chair with the American Nightmare logo. Dude.
Yeah, I still think that tattoo on his neck looks like shit.
Dude, and you know what? If you want to fight, we can. I mean,
I really don't want to get my ass kicked by a very tall black man who's my good friend.
Yes.
So, because that's how that will end. And the only way it doesn't end is if somehow I sneak and get my nub into your throat, and then I choke you out.
Well, I don't think I would personally fight you. I don't know if it's discriminating. I don't want to treat you different, but I don't think I would fight a one-handed man. You know, sorry.
That's fair. No, that's true.
I mean, you would literally have to swing at me first for me to try to restrain you, but I don't think I would fight that person.
I think the last time I got in a fight, I was in probably elementary school, though my best fight ever, my brother, who is 8 years older than me, he used to pick on me all the time. At one point, one day, he's picking on me like crazy, and I just lost it, and I was probably 3 or 4, I launched myself at him, basically did like the Fez press, or no, the Fez, the thing, you remember Stone Cold?
Yeah, the thing Fez just jumps up. You said it,
yeah.
Right?
So I jump up on him, I threw him to the ground, and when I talk about having one hand, you have to picture, imagine if you look at your hand, and about where your thumb starts, if you chopped off from there up, that's what I have as my right hand. I shoved that into his throat, hard. And he's like choking, turning purple. Our mom walks in. She looks down, points at my brother, and goes, "Ha ha! That's what you get for fucking with him." And walks out of the room.
Best memory is when you get the best of your brother. I remember my brother's 5'7", so to little Floyd, he was a giant, but to grown size Floyd, he was not. And when I finally got bigger than him, and he used to just overpower me, now I was like, get off of me, little guy. Hey, buddy. Hey, little buddy. Because I'm like, dude, I'm 6 foot, 300 pounds. You know? And he's 5'7", like 190 or something like that. I'm like, hey.
Yeah, I mean, I'm 5'7", for Pete's sake.
Yeah.
So,
I wouldn't call him tiny, but tiny compared to me. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, I mean, when literally I'm looking at your picture on Skype is you standing next to Braun Strowman, and you come up to Braun Strowman's shoulder, and we know Braun Strowman is just like ginormous. So if you've never met Floyd, ladies and gentlemen, he is a very tall man.
You know, and it's funny, I even said Braun Strowman was the I've met the Big Show, but he wasn't standing up anytime I met him. His hands were huge, but he never was standing up. I met Braun Strowman, and he was standing up when we took the picture. It was the first time in my life I've ever felt small.
Well, and just about everyone should. I mean, yeah. The only people who should not feel small next to Braun Strowman is someone like The Big Show.
Yeah, so like I met Keith Lee, and Keith Lee maybe a couple inches taller than me, about 50 pounds heavier than me, but he's, as they call it, a shit brick house. He is just muscle. You know, he is me if I just worked out like all the time. You know what I mean? And I doubt I could still look as good as him. But still, it was just like, it was like the picture of six, like he's 6'3", 350, and it was 6'3", 306. And it was like, those numbers seem similar, but no. No, he did a lot more with his 350 than I did with my 306.
real quick aside, have you ever kind of noticed that Keith Lee, Cedric Alexander, and Adam Cole all have similar poses that they do?
Yes.
Yeah. Just that's a side note. But yeah, overall, this promo I thought was fine. It didn't rock my world. It didn't.
Yeah, it
was fine.
It was earth shattering, sir. It was the greatest promo ever.
And if you are a diehard Cody Mark, then absolutely, I'm sure it got your juices flowing and all that.
It was the very greatest segment ever cut on April 22nd, 2020.
Okay, that's fair. I didn't watch NXT this week, so I don't know if there's anything decent on there. But
what are you doing with your time?
So, okay, most mornings I was not as good this week, but this is my schedule: get up at 5:30, work out. So, because I can't go to the gym, I do a series of calisthenic videos that I watch on YouTube. Make breakfast, unload the dishwasher, take a shower.
That's like 20 minutes. So what do you do after?
Oh, no. That's the working out is like 35 minutes, 35 to 40 minutes. Take a shower. That whole process, by the time I'm done, it's 8 o'clock, time for work to start. I work from 8 to 5-ish. And then after work, I go on a jog. Okay, it's 2/3 walk, 1/3 jog, but let me call it a jog. I come home, do one other calisthenics video. That's only about
good
5 minutes.
Lord, are you?
And then
are you okay?
Then, yeah, I'm fine.
No, because this sounds like you're obsessed with working out.
I'm just trying to not be a fat ass. That's all.
No, that's more than not being a fat ass. The 35 minute workout in the morning is enough for most humans.
I'm trying.
The fact that you do a second workout, that's more than just trying not to be a fat ass.
Well, you know, I'm trying to be in good shape. I'm trying to be healthy. I want my wife to actually find me attractive, all these things. So then I make dinner. And then I try to get ready for bed around 9-ish. So depending on – also, I'll have homework to do. Luckily, my semester's pretty much over. I've got one assignment I have to finish today, and then I'm basically done. And then I try to keep up with my shows. It's been nice these last few weeks. It's – amazingly, working from home and not having commute has somehow made me busier. So I haven't been able to keep up with my shows as much. Thankfully, my shows haven't been on.
Yeah.
I mean, there's Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist has taken a couple weeks breaks, but I've been able to keep up with it. I just watched the most recent Flash episode, but thankfully they were, you know, not putting out new episodes for about a month, probably because they're running out and they haven't been able to finish their season. I don't know what poor Supernatural is going to do last season. I guess the last season is going to be last season and a half. Who knows? So yeah, that's kind of my day.
All right. Well, that doesn't, you know. Well, I don't know. I don't know how you – I guess you don't – I don't have the school thing, and I don't have that pesky working out thing. I was going to say, I'm bored most of the time, so. Like,
I have to keep myself busy, so – because if I get bored, I start to get depressed if I get bored too much, and I just sit around and do nothing.
You know what, you know what a great way to fill that time is?
Pro wrestling?
Watching AEW and NXT every week.
Fair enough.
Yeah, so enough. We get Darby Allin and Sammy G, which what I consider the match of the week in any organization. Great callback to their last match when Sammy G actually attacked Darby and jumped him before the match. They had a ladder spot, which, if you can tell, AEW does not seem to use gimmick ladders. They just, I guess, I've seen the ladder that you can use in AEW, I mean, you know, in the back, and they use the ladder. And, of course, because regular ladders are sturdy and were meant to hold really, really heavy people, two tiny people, in my opinion, they're tiny to me.
Oh, no, they're tiny.
Yeah.
They're small.
They're not going to break that ladder.
Oh, that was the bounce that happened when Sammy G, because Sammy G bounced and then Darby Allin bounced off of it, and just the way that Jericho sold that was great. Yeah, this was a really, really good match, and I think the call they start talking about it was later. It was later. Never mind. So yeah. We'll get to that later.
So when they bounce off the ladder, I will honestly tell you, when as a person that watches wrestling, not going through the ladder looks like it hurts a hell of a lot more than going through the ladder.
Oh, yeah. That's like every time there's a table spot and the table doesn't break, and you're like, oh, God, that had to suck.
Yeah, that looks like that hurts way more. So yep. More stuff not breaking. I mean, I don't know how it is for the wrestler. I would love to ask them. But if it doesn't hurt you more, it just know. Visually, it looks better when it doesn't break. Because when it doesn't break, it looks like an accident. And when that leads into the level of realism.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, so the match continues. Sammy having most of the offense. Darby is working on his leg and ankle. We see a lot of different submissions. At one point, Darby Allin actually takes off Sammy Guevara's boot, works on his foot. This leads to a moment. Was there a specific moment you were talking about before I talk about the end?
No. It was. I loved the finish that yeah. out of nowhere that pin that looks like, how are you going to get out of that?
The Last Supper. He's actually been getting he's actually used that move the last couple weeks. And a la New Japan, who I clearly said wasn't the best earlier, but that is something that they've done. Like, New Japan doesn't just debut a finisher and like the best, you know, like the best of the Super Juniors. You will see the person doing the finisher in like preliminary matches and tag matches before they then debut it and they get the move over. Well, that's what they've been doing with Darby in the Last Supper. They actually got the move over, then he used it, worked on the leg, built to the end where he then does the leg wrap, and maybe that's why Sammy doesn't have quite the leg strength to kick out. And that's how we got a winner.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really good. These are two super, super talented guys. And it's if they aren't both in the main, if all goes well and AEW's here for the long haul in, you know, 5 to 10 years, if those two guys aren't in the main event, then I don't know. They got hurt. Something went wrong.
Yeah. With me, Darby's Allin's trajectory is more of the next year or two. Sammy's got a longer trajectory. He loses a lot more than Darby does. If you think about it, Darby has only lost to, like, Moxley. And he lost to Moxley and Cody, I believe. And Jericho. Yeah, he's only lost to that top tier one talent. So he's very much on that second level of talent. So pushing him to that first level isn't there that much far. And with Darby, like, with some wrestlers, I'll be like, oh, they need to gain weight. They need to do this. Darby is who he is. I think if Darby gained like 20 pounds of muscle or something and got bigger, that would work against his gimmick. He has to look the way he looks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now.
Agreed.
Now, a couple other wrestlers I feel differently about, just to say the least.
Yeah. Sammy could probably use putting on some muscle.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And there's a little bit, I think, you know, putting on a whole bunch of muscle or anything like that would work completely against Darby's gimmick.
Agreed.
Matt Hardy checks in from the Hardy compound. He starts off as Broken Matt or Damascus. He says, some people think my character is over the top, so I'm going to let you talk to my vessel, Matt Hardy. And Matt Hardy then cuts a promo, basically saying he's going to beat up everybody in the Inner Circle. And the reason he's helping the Elite, because the Bucks are his friends, Kenny Omega is his friends, and he knows Cody. It was so funny. He was kind of like, I know Cody, and they're all powerful. So why not be on the powerful side? They're all power people in this company. Why not be on the powerful side? He says this AEW is not about Jericho. AEW is not about Matt Hardy. It is about the youth, and he will do what he can to protect the youth, including kicking everybody's ass in the inner circle. So it looks like what they're building is Sammy G to come to the compound to fight Matt Hardy.
So you think there's at some point there's going to be a Matt Hardy turn?
Nah. I mean, I don't think he'll ever go heel. I don't know. Maybe. Do you see a heel turn coming, sir?
I don't know. Based on I didn't watch this segment, but based on what you were talking about, that seems like, you know, using the subtlety hammer, it seems like laying the groundwork for a heel turn.
I mean, hey, I wouldn't mind it. I'm just like, you know, I love me a good heel turn.
Yeah. But the funny thing is Matt Hardy talking about, you know, kicking a bunch of people's asses. It's like, dude, you can barely walk, man. Let's be honest. There's not a whole lot you can do anymore. Yeah, like, poor guy.
It's funny what people can do when they're allowed to do stuff. You probably would have said that same thing about Dustin Rhodes like 2 years ago, right?
No, he always seemed like he could move, at least from what I can remember.
I'm just saying, it's like he had gotten fat a few years ago, and, you know, and it's like, oh, he got in shape. And it's like when you actually have input on wrestling and you can have this, you know, energy for it, you know, maybe. And Matt Hardy, I don't ever think he was a super worker. You know, he was known for the TLC matches, but, you know, no one ever is like Matt Hardy, one of the best wrestlers in the world. I mean, you know, if anybody out there is listening, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's like, how do you fall off when you were never up?
That's fair. That is fair. But, yeah, totally fair.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this match that blew up the very, very small and honestly, if we're being truthful about it, insignificant wrestling Twitter.
This is hilarious to me because I watched the match. I watched while I'm working, as I've mentioned, and it's Kenny Omega versus Angels, Allen Angels. They had a 10-minute match?
I think it was like 7 minutes.
7-minute match. Kenny Omega dominated the match. He hit one V-trigger in the ropes, and then he hit a powerbomb into a V-trigger. Powerbomb into the V-trigger, and that was the end. He didn't even use the one-winged angel. He ended the match with the V-trigger.
Right, okay. And yet somehow people were like, oh, he's ruined the V-trigger by not pinning this jabron with it. I'm like, he's never pinned anyone with the V-trigger when he's in the ropes.
Dude, he hit Okada, I think one match, he hit him with like 12 V-triggers. My big problem with the V-trigger is that it was overused. I used to say that about Kenny Omega. It's a knee to the head.
That should kill you.
Yeah, you shouldn't have to do that 17 times. You should do it once. But then someone corrected me, that if you think of Kenny Omega as a video game character, now, of course, you don't play video games, so I understand that, but you think of him as a video game character, and his signature move is like the, you know, is the V-trigger, like with, Guile has his flash kick or whatever. You don't just use that move one time in a fight. You use it whenever you can get it off. So when someone told me that, I was like, oh, I kind of get Kenny Omega now. Still not my favorite wrestler, but I was taking old school terms and trying to apply it to a new school wrestler.
Yeah, and I guess poor Ryan Satin apparently gotten raked over the coals for his opinion on it. But it was, to me, it's... After watching the match, I won. Here were my few takeaways from the match. One, this Angel dude's actually pretty good. Two, an argument to make about him getting so much offense on Kenny Omega is, if you think about it this way, in this kid's head, this is his WrestleMania main event. This is the biggest thing he's ever done. So he's going to go out there, give it his all, do everything he possibly can. It's like that scene in Rudy at the practice, and the guy's complaining. He's like, Rudy's out here playing. We're in practice. He's playing like it's a Super Bowl. And the coach said, yes, and that's your problem. It's this kid was Rudy. He's playing like it's a Super Bowl, and it's just a squash, you know, a job match, a squash. And he looked really good. The best part, though, was Chris Jericho not knowing how to pronounce the guy's name and then making a reference to Little House on the Prairie. And then the Highway to Heaven show.
Yes.
Oh, my God. I literally laughed out loud for a couple of minutes. It was so, and that's going to be, I mean, if you're, you know, if you're anything younger than a, you know, a millennial, especially, you'd have to be like the higher end of the millennial spectrum. You're not going to know what a Laura Ingalls Wilde is. You're not going to know what a Little House on the Prairie is. And you're certainly not going to know what Highway to Heaven is. So it just, I laughed so hard. And again, I've just got to say, Tony Schiavone and Chris Jericho on commentary forever, please. That is the best commentary duo I've heard in so long. It's so good. It's so freaking good.
I've seen Kenny Omega. He had a match with Jack Evans, and Jack Evans loses like every match he has in AEW. They put on a longer match than this, and no one said anything.
Yeah.
So, Angels, Kenny Omega, again, his style to me is more of that he's a stamina monster. He doesn't, you know, basically his matches are going to go on forever and you just are not going to be able to keep up with him. He's going to be in such good shape that you're going to wear out. He has never been a beat you in 3 seconds guy. That's not his style. So even when it comes to Allen Angels, if he would have just came out, V-triggered him and got the pin, I think that would work against who Kenny Omega is. And Kenny Omega being a, you know, established wrestler, I think it's better for him to have a longer match with Angels, see what he has, see if they want to use him in the future.
And I would say, yes, they should use him in the future because that guy was actually pretty darn good. And, you know, and honestly, it's Kenny Omega. He's so polarizing. So, you know, the man tells you the sky is blue and half of Twitter is going to say he's lying. You know, it's just like a politician. He can't win for losing.
Yeah.
And people made a much bigger deal out of this. But again, in the time of COVID-19 and people were stuck at home and bored out of their minds, the fact that they would latch onto this and make a big deal out of it kind of makes sense.
And you know what's funny? I didn't even know it happened until Friday. When I'm at work, I am on the internet and much more active than I am when I'm at home. My TV's right there at home. You know what I mean? My kitchen's right there. I can cook some tasty food. I can watch a TV show. I don't need to be on the internet. When I'm at work, I don't have anything else to do, so I'm on the internet a lot. So I never saw it actually happen. It was hilarious to me. I gotta commend Ryan Satt. A lot of people are going to hate me for this, but this dude who everybody thinks is a WWE shill, which he may or may not be because, you know, he's on their show or whatever, he still gives his opinions knowing he's going to get killed.
Oh, yeah. I like Ryan Satin.
Yeah.
TMZ guy is I've always liked him.
Yeah, but I'm just saying he knows he's going to get killed, and he still gives it. He still gives it to you and still gives his opinion. I might not agree with his opinion, which I honestly didn't. I didn't think it was a big deal at all. But, I mean, look outside looking in, not a diehard AEW guy, I could see someone making that thought. My problem was he said casual fans.
Watch out, ladies and gentlemen. Floyd's going to go on a rant about how there is no such thing as casual fans. Get ready.
I was not going to do that. I have done that, and I've let that go. I have to understand the casuals out there don't care how long a match is and who wins and how dominant they are. They don't give a fuck. That's for us nerds.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's for the 1% of their audience that actually cares about that. It's like winning and losing, right? To a casual fan, wins and losses don't really matter in wrestling because their first thought when watching it, unfortunately, is it's not real. I always wonder, do people watch, like, do you watch Smallville like that? Like, every time he flies, man, he's not really flying. Screw this show.
Nope.
Do you do that? I don't understand why people do that with wrestling. It's such this big idea that it's not real. And it's like 90% of the TV you watch, even the stuff with real in the name, isn't real.
Yeah.
That would be my rant.
I think the only, I think for, and it's not as much a thing anymore, but for so long, wrestling insisted that it was real, whereas TV shows are straight up, no, we're fake. Yeah, now, again, it's not really the case anymore.
And most of the audience isn't affected by that. Most of the audience lives in a time where there was no wool pulled over your eyes. You seriously, 86 or 87, Vince McMahon came out and said wrestling is not real. You know, out there. You know, it's out there. He broke kayfabe, so they didn't have to pay the same fees as boxing commissions and things like that, right?
Right. He was like, well, it's sports entertainment.
Yeah. Then this 90 steroids trial. There have been these big things where openly admit wrestling's not real. And it's like most people fall into the not real side of it. But it seems like people that are like 20 and 25 is like they were trying to pull the wool over your eyes. And I'm like, you have literally never lived in a time where they were trying to pull the wool over your eyes.
Exactly.
And so it's like I said, it's weird. I mean, I am a huge superhero movie fan. It is. Hold on a second. This is so silly. I'm a super huge comic book movie fan, and I just can't think. Thanos didn't really make the world go half away. Like, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, agreed.
So I don't know why that's done in wrestling. It was a good match. I mean, I wouldn't even say it was a good match. It was a match. It was a squash match. I barely paid attention to it. I didn't pay attention to it until Friday when I heard there was a big thing and I had to watch it again. Because I thought it was that insignificant. So, then we get a Scorpio Sky video package. I thought that was extremely well done. Putting over, he had a back injury and now he's coming back from it. It looks like Scorpio Sky's in line for a big push as a single star. We didn't get highlights from BTE. We've already talked about BTE. No reason to go through that. Then we get Orange Cassidy versus Jimmy Havoc. And Jimmy Havoc got a lot of offense in. He then put Orange Cassidy's hands in his pocket, which made Orange Cassidy fire up. And then Orange Cassidy went off on him. And there was interference from Kip Sabian and Penelope Ford, which is going to set up an announcement for later. But Orange Cassidy, he got distracted by Kip Sabian and Penelope Ford, who Kip Sabian and Penelope Ford and Jimmy Havoc are all roommates. They're all from the UK. Jimmy Havoc is like the creepy guy that lives with them. Orange Cassidy does like a octopus stretch roll up, I think that's the best way to describe it, and gets the pin on Jimmy Havoc. I know there's probably a proper wrestling name for it, but I don't have that proper wrestling name, so I'm just going to go with that. We get, let's see, I'm just going through this. Then we get Wardlow versus Lee Johnson. Pins him with the F10. There was this match part where Lee Johnson was on the second ropes and Wardlow did a thumbs down and did a knee to the face. That was one of the best knee to face I've ever seen. We then get a video of a guy going to the Dark Order, telling them that, you know, white life hasn't been working out for him. Brody Lee asked how big he was. Said he's 6'3". He said, did you used to play college football? And he said, yeah, I used to play college football. And then he's like, you're not alone now. You are a part of the Dark Order. And it turns out Vanilla Vance, a.k.a. Preston Vance, is now a member of the Dark Order. He will be 10. He is the 10th member of the Dark Order.
So who is Preston Vance? Should I have known who this guy is?
He's Vanilla Vance, trained by QT. He's done a few matches, you know, jobber matches where he lost. They see him as, you know, the future, you know.
Okay.
But he, and honestly, if you wanted to use a New Japan term, he is one of the young boys.
Oh, okay. Fair.
He's going to lose
okay,
a
sounds
lot.
Good.
Yeah, but he, obviously, 6'3", 240, he's the future, you know. He's gonna work out in the future of the company. We then get Brody Lee in a match with Justin Law, dominates him, hits him with a spinning clothesline. Then we get the second installment of the Bubbly Munch. They want you to send in a flim flam dance, not TikTok, but flim flam. And Sammy Vera won the dance and won a bottle of hand sanitizer, which he seemed to be really excited about.
What's flim flam?
They didn't want to say TikTok.
Oh, okay.
So they just called it flim flam.
Okay.
They probably offered TikTok, and they're like, hey, no, we're not getting no money. Flim flam it is. Dustin Rhodes and Kip Sabian, it was a match. I wouldn't say it was bad. Wouldn't say it was good, but it was a match.
So here's my opinions on this. It okay. was boring. I watched it literally on double time, and it was still slow and boring. I mean, it was a gentleman's three. It was not that it wasn't well worked. The effort was fine. It was just so boring. Oh my Lord, it was boring.
Yeah, I did not find it boring. I watched it. It was just a match. They did a thing earlier this week where they basically said there's a stipulation that Dustin was going to retire if he lost the match. You know, I don't say much negative in this world. No one bought that. No one bought that. That was that Dustin Rhodes' this last match was going to be on a Dynamite with no people in the audience.
Yeah, that was – why did they even need to do that?
I don't know. Sound like somebody thought it was a great idea. And, yeah. It was funny because in the video on Road 2, when Dustin's saying it to Cody, Cody's like rolling his eyes and uninterested. And he said, you'll be proud of me. I don't know if this is what they're trying to get over. He's like, you'll be proud of me if I won the TNT Championship. I was like, you know your brother's in the tournament, right? No, he wouldn't be proud if you won the TNT Championship. He'd be pissed because he didn't win it. I was very confused on this whole thing. Dustin Rhodes, they book him like he's oblivious to certain things.
And that, I guess that works. Yeah. It was a match. It was there. There was Mike. Why was that the main event?
Yes. And as we're getting off the news, getting off the show, we got it a message from Tony Khan. The first time I've really heard him as kind of the booker of the show and them referencing him like that. Next week, we're going to have Best Friends with Orange Cassidy versus Jimmy Havoc and Kip Sabian with Penelope Ford in a match. And I was just like, okay. Does that match make you want to tune in next week? Yeah. This Dynamite, I thought, was exponentially better than last week's. I thought it was exciting and fun, and it hit all the notes that I needed it to hit. I was very happy that it was good because I was like, dude, I can't come on here and say the show sucked 2 weeks in a row. Give me something. I wasn't going to lie, but it was just like, give me something. And they actually gave a very entertaining show. I think what's big with AEW, and I've pointed this out when it comes to tag team match, the opening match sets the tone for the show. And I think the opening match is more important than the main event.
I can see that. Yeah, no, I mean, that was a great opening match.
Yeah, let me say. But if I'm booking Sammy, like, if I'm watching a show, it looks like it was recorded in reverse because Sammy G and Darby Allin should have been the main event.
Oh, yeah.
But I feel if you started the show off, if you started the show off with Dustin and Kip Sabian, it would have changed the whole tone of the show.
Yeah, no, it would have been that just match shouldn't. It was just. Yeah, it was just boring. I would say, okay, so here would have been the thing. If you were going to make Darby and Sammy the main event, which it should have been, you have Omega and Angels as the opening match. Because it was at least the other kind of high-energy match, or the Orange Cassidy Havoc match could be the opener. From what little I saw of that. But yeah, no, it was whatever.
And like I said, I understand some people. I thought it was good. I wouldn't call it good. I thought it was a match.
Yeah. So the other thing, looks like I'm looking at our notes. We've got, so next week on Dynamite, rolling this down, Dustin Rhodes taking on Lance Archer. And Dustin's going to lose.
Semifinal match.
Right. Cody versus Darby Allin. Has Darby gotten his win against Cody yet?
Nope. In my tournament bracket, I called the upset. Darby beats Cody.
But that would make the finals Lance Archer against Darby Allin.
That is the classic story of wrestling. Really tiny guy, really big guy. And you can go either way with the winner.
That's true.
Yeah,
Brody Lee's going to murder Marco Stunt. John Moxley's going to...
Big guy against tiny guy.
Yeah, John Moxley's going to cut a promo. And as you mentioned, the best friends with Orange Juice are going to go against Havoc Sabian with Penelope Ford.
Did you call him Orange Juice?
Yeah, Orange Cassidy, Orange Juice, Saul Monster, whatever.
Solo Monster? What's Solo Monster?
From Saul Monster Sounds Off, he looks like Jason Solomon.
That's your thing. You bring him up all the time. I have no idea what he looks like. He could walk into my house right now, say I'm Jason Solomon, and I'm like, who the fuck are you, Jason Solomon?
Yeah, he looks just like Orange Cassidy. It's kind of eerie. It's one of my favorite wrestling podcasts. Yeah. Is Solomon Monster Sounds Off. It was actually the first podcast I ever listened to.
Yeah, my first podcast was the Voices of Wrestling flagship. Well, my first non-Jericho Del Conte podcast was that. And I just know how good that can be.
Yeah.
All right, AEW rankings as of Friday, April 24th. We don't generally do this, but I saw them and I just thought, you'll probably get why I do this in a minute. Tag rankings. Of course, Kenny Omega and Hangman are the champions. At 5, we got the Lucha Bros at 1-2, SCU at 2-3, the Best Friends at 4-3, Nick and Matt at 2-2, and the Dark Order as undefeated. So I imagine we're going to get the Dark Order versus Kenny Omega and Paige at Double or Nothing, but we will see. The other women's rankings, of course, Nyla Rose, your champion. We got Rio at 3-3 at 5. We got Britt Baker at 3-3 at 4. Yuka Sakazaki, 1-1 at 3. Chris Statlander, 2-3 at, she is at 2. And the number one contender is Hikaru Shida at 7-1.
So wait a minute, how can Chris Statlander with a losing record be ranked number 2? Is it because everyone else has a tied record?
Not only has she been ranked number 2, I believe she actually lost the title match to Nyla Rose. So I feel like she should be 5 if she's even ranked.
Yeah, I don't understand how that math works.
I like discourse, but since most of these people haven't wrestled, Britt Baker should be the number one contender by default, because I think she's the only, Sheeta should be 1 and Britt Baker should be 2, because they're the only 2 that can wrestle. And then you have the men's ranking. You got John Moxley as the world champion, Jake Hager at 5, Lance Archer, Jake Hager's at 5-4-1, his one loss being to John Moxley. We got Lance Archer at 3-0. He did beat Colt, so I guess that makes, that's a quality win there. You got Darby Allin at 5-2 at the 3 spot. So those are 2 contenders for the TNT Championship. Then you got Kenny Omega, 4-0. He's at number 2. And the number 1 contender for a title he can't win at 7-1 to Cody. Cody, just Cody for right now.
And now these rankings are from January. So every, because then it's got your overall, that's from the beginning of AEW. Is that correct?
Correct.
Now, do these rankings, like anytime Kenny goes to AAA to defend the, because he is, isn't he the AAA mega champion?
Yes.
Do those matches count in these rankings?
I'm going to say no.
Okay.
Because
I wasn't sure about that.
I don't think it does, but maybe.
Because since AAA is kind of canon in AEW, kind of?
Kind of, yeah. I honestly could not tell you if it does. I wish I could. Let's see. All right, the last thing is on April 13th, about 13 days ago from recording, Cody Rhodes filed a trademark the day after the trademark ended on WWE, from WWE. Cody Rhodes filed a trademark for his name, Cody Rhodes. So he will be using Cody. Cody Rhodes is going to be able to use his name going forward. As we were talking to, we were talking about earlier. Anything WWE did before the trademark expires, they can still use going forward, including his name on TV, T-shirts, anything he did before going forward. It looks like if it goes through, Cody would own all that information. I don't know if he's going to use the name Cody Rhodes in wrestling, but he would have to. You have to use it. You have to put it on a shirt or something, because if you don't, then the trademark expires again.
Yeah, I would think he would. It would just be, because just saying Cody doesn't have a good ring to it. If he was able to, you know, go back to calling himself Cody Rhodes, it would just work better.
Okay, yeah, I completely agree. I am a Cody Rhodes fan. I still call him Cody Rhodes. I very rarely call him just Cody, if ever. So, there you go. But yeah. So thanks for being on the show, Dave. Do you have anything else before we get out of here?
Not that I can think of. I just hope everyone is doing well and staying safe and not doing anything stupid out there. So just be careful, everybody.
Yeah, definitely. I completely agree with that. You know, be careful. Practice social distancing. But, you know.
Wait, did you say sexual distancing?
I mean, I guess. Now, my friends on Tinder, they're like, they're not liking this. Practice social distancing. I am not one of those super panicky people, but it's like, does it hurt anything to be safe? It doesn't. So do that. You know, I want the world to start up as quick as anybody else does. Is actually probably quicker than a lot of you do. I'm like, but it's just, if we have to do it, might as well do it right. Don't do it wrong and then say it didn't work.
Agreed.
It's like, if you got to do it right. You know, practice social distancing. I don't wear a mask. That's a big thing with me. I was like, they annoy the hell out of me. So went to Walmart yesterday, went in and out. But I can be real and say this. I literally work with essential worker. That works at a cash register at a grocery store. If I was going to get it, I would have it by now.
Yeah.
I mean, she literally talks to hundreds of people a day, touch money, touch cards, and then she comes home.
Yeah, how y'all both haven't gotten it, I don't know.
Exactly. It's just like one of those things. As like, you know, and I'm a diabetic. It's like, there's a whole thing. This thing was like built to kill me.
And we need more Floyd in the world. So please, Rona, stay away from Floyd.
You know what? I don't really want to die that way. But, you know, I always say if somebody gets hurt or dies and it saves other people. Because the big thing with me, I don't know anyone personally that has gotten Corona. So it really does make it less real for me.
Right.
You know, I don't know anyone, so I'm glad I don't. I feel like I'm blessed that I don't, but it's a real thing. It's happening. There are people that have passed away from it. take care of yourself. Even if you're not doing it for you, do it for the person that you love most that you might give it to.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly. And, you know, life is tough.
Yeah.
Life is tough. And what you got to remember, always kick out at two, baby.
It's a work. Don't forget to kick out at two.
Yeah. No. I even fucked up the old catchphrase.
Yes.
Damn.
Yes.
This is why I don't do catchphrases. I don't have one.
Yes. I like to end in mind with the catchphrase. But now, but seriously, whether you're seriously, I implore you to do the best for everyone around you. And I will say this and end you with this. Whether you're at home, at home, or at your essential job, always do your best to be elite.